Let's look in Isaiah 55:1. Come, all ye who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have what? No money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. The Lord says here, you can come and you can have access to life if you'll what? Lend your ear. Remember, we've talked about from Proverbs chapter 4, you ought to, if you're taking notes, write out in the margin of your Bible next to this verse, Proverbs 4:20-22, because he says the same thing there. If you incline your ear, right, to my words, right? If you open up your heart, if you keep them in the midst of your heart, they will be life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. That's what we've been preaching the last 3 weeks. If you haven't been with us, go back and listen to those messages. But Isaiah says here, number one, you can come and partake freely. Say freely.
Freely.
Freely is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, not all of us have access to the most elite medical care in the world when it comes to treating our body for sickness. But the scripture says here, all you can come and buy freely. You can come even if you have no money. Isn't it a good thing? You know, we've got more hospitals in our society nowadays than we've ever had. I've never seen it. It's almost like they're like stop and goes. When I was a kid, we called them stop and goes. You know, what do they call those? Convenience stores. TikTok is the Alvin name, right? TikToks was the Alvin stop and go. In my day, it was stop and go. But you know, hospitals, they're popping up everywhere. What does that tell you? There's more people sick nowadays than ever, right here in America. And yet we have the best medical care. We have the best sanitation. I mean, we got alcohol stations about every other pole in here. You know, you got all access to the best of the best in terms of cleanliness. And yet people are what? Still sick. What does that tell you? Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's spiritual. I would venture to say, America's among the best in the world, if not the best, in terms of sanitation and medical care, and yet we've got more sickness floating around than ever before. We're at war. Can you tell? We're at war. But the prophet says here, Jesus is available to all for free. And I want you to, again, underline that there in the first part of verse 3. Give ear and come and hear me and you will live. Those are great phrases. Sometimes a big part of your healing, believe it or not, is the things you hear. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
You know, you're trudging along in life and you don't even see it, but somehow you let some resentment, some bitterness into your heart towards someone that's close to you. Maybe they disappointed you. Maybe they let you down. And all of a sudden there's a resentment rising in your heart. And you sit in church one day and the Holy Ghost hits you with the hammer of God's word to remind you, forgive. And so you release that person in your heart because you heard the word. And all of a sudden, your body gets healed. Wow, who'd have thunk? You get healed physically because of something you heard in church. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's just what this verse is talking about. Hear and you will live. Hear and you will live. You know, a leper came to Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. And Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, which was unthinkable, right? You and I wouldn't think to do that. If you saw leprosy on someone's flesh, the last thing in the world you'd do is reach out and touch them. But Jesus did it. He touched him and he said what? I'm willing. I'm willing. And I think there was something, even though that sounds real simple, two words, I'm willing. I think in its simplicity, I think there was something in the smile of Jesus' face, the tender love in his touch at that moment, that communicated more than we can fathom as we just see those two words, I'm willing. It almost seems like, okay, if you beg me to. Or, okay, if you insist, right? I mean, willing can be like, someone can go willingly somewhere, but not like excited about it, right? Honey, it's time to take out the trash. Okay, I'm willing. You might do it, but you might not be thrilled about it. But I believe there's something deeper in the words of Jesus than what we can really, you know, appreciate when we just read those two words, I'm willing. And I believe it's this, I'm not just willing, I'm eager. I desire this. I want to do this for you. And Jesus says that, I'm willing. I believe in his heart, he was more than just like, okay, I'll do this if you twist my arm. It was like, yeah, of course I'm willing. I want to do this. I'm eager to heal you. I'm eager to cleanse you. And we have to believe that's the heart of God toward us when it comes to healing. He's not just like, okay, if you twist my arm. No, he's thrilled to heal us. Amen. He's desirous to heal us. We went and saw the Chosen movie last week, and I love the Chosen TV series, but I have to tell you the part about Jesus, you know, putting little James's healing off till eternity. My mind went bonkers. I wanted to, you know, cough up a hairball and fall on the floor when I heard him say that. But it's just unthinkable. I mean, why would Jesus say, I love you so much, I've come to earth and save you from your sins so you can live with me for eternity. But while you're living down here the rest of your life, you got to slug it out in your own misery. It's just not the heart of God. You know, it's unthinkable. It'd be a terrible oversight on his part. So I'm not knocking Dallas Jenkins, but just so you know, that's my disclaimer. If you go to see the movie version of season 3 opening, you just got to be aware. It's a little different doctrine, you know, introduced there. I don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. If I did, every TV preacher would be thrown out, right? Because they all got flaws. We all got flaws. So don't throw out the whole series just over a difference in doctrine, but understand the difference in doctrine. Discern it. Amen? And believe that Jesus is what he said to that leper. I'm willing. I'm not just able. I'm willing to heal you. You have to believe that. That's the starting ground for your personal healing. Jesus wants to heal me. Say that with me. Jesus wants to heal me. He desires it. He's eager to do it. Well, you know, people nowadays are pursuing organic foods, all kinds of supplements, fitness programs, everything they can do in their own strength to produce health in their body. And there's nothing wrong with that. My wife and I are fairly active. We get out and jog and, you know, shake this body a couple times a week and do our part. We take lots of vitamins. I've always laughed that if, you know, if they ever cut Terry open when she passes, you know, all they'll find in her is green. It'll look like a garden. I mean, it's just, she's half bunny, you know, half rabbit. But, you know, we do our part. But I want to say this, in Jesus' day, everybody ate organically. Think about it. And yet it says what in the Gospels? There were many who were sick were brought to him. What's the deal? No pesticides then. Everybody's eating organic. But there's a lot of what? Sick people. Like in our day. Why? Well, the scripture tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. Now, that's not to say that everybody who's sick is being oppressed by the devil, but sometimes they are. And thus, the profound statement I heard just the other day, you can't medicate a demon. Are you with me? Take your medicine, yes. Go to the doctor, yes. But listen, if it's spiritual, you got to combat spiritual matters with spiritual power. We don't have to be spooked by demons, but listen, understand there is a spiritual war out there. I'm not going to raise a bunch of spiritual babies in here afraid to talk about the devil. You're going to be fit for war because we're at war. Paul said, we are those on whom the ends of the earth have come, meaning we're it. Well, who do you think Satan's going to fight the hardest? The Christians in the last days. Why? Because we're going to be the ones to finish the race. The baton's been passed for 2,000 years in the church, from generation to generation to generation. We may be that final leg of the race. So who's he going to try to trip up the hardest? Us. You got to believe that. You got to sober your spiritual mind up with that truth, that reality. We could be it. Say, we could be it. We certainly could. Fit is good, but health comes from Jesus. Listen, creation is fallen. You cannot mend or heal creation through itself. This is the problem with, you know, go get a massage to relax you. That's great. But what about the anxiety in your heart? You walk out of there, your body feels like jello, but you're still anxious in your heart. Why? Because you haven't cast your care upon the Lord. So deal with spiritual matters spiritually, right? Enjoy the massage place or whatever, and your spa. Ladies, go enjoy the spa, but realize you got to deal with spiritual matters spiritually. If you're anxious about your kids, you got to give them to Jesus, for example, right? And then that anxiety will leave you, and you don't have to pay the spa all your money. You spend it on something else. But creation is fallen. Redemption is where we need to place our trust. Redemption is where we should place our trust. For God to create the world only required a word. He spoke and the worlds were created. But for God to redeem us, he had to come to earth and shed blood. How much more precious, more powerful is redemption? Amen. So we seek redemption. Listen, when it comes to our bodies, yes, if you have to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But while you're on the way to the doctor's office, be praying, Lord, give them wisdom. Give them insight. I told you a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. The doctors are there to help Jesus. Jesus isn't there to help the doctors. Right. Healing comes from Jesus. Amen. The doctors are his tool to help us. Amen. Let's don't put the emphasis in the wrong place. Let's lean completely upon Jesus and trust the doctors that are helping him to get us well. Amen. Make sense? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, on the night of Passover, the night of the first Passover, Israel was about to leave Egypt. And 3 million plus Jewish people there in Egypt did something very unique. They ate what's called the Passover lamb in the first ever celebration called Passover. And the Bible says the name of it, by the way, was so that the death angel would pass over the home of the children of Israel, but he would visit the Egyptians, right? Kill their firstborn. You remember the story? Go watch it. The Ten Commandments is great. That night, they partook of the roasted lamb. Who's the roasted lamb represent? Jesus, of course. And by the way, on the doorpost around their house, Alan has a slide here, they were told to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the lintel, which is that cross beam at the top, and the two sides, the door frame, which is the top, and the lintels, which are the sides. And that represents also, go ahead, the cross. There's a deeper meaning in that blood that was on their doors. Thank you. And the Bible tells us something amazing resulted in them having the death angel pass over them that night and them eating the roasted lamb. Look at Psalm 105:37 here on the screen. You don't have to turn there, so I have it here. He brought them forth. This is the next day after they ate that Passover lamb. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Listen, when you got born again, when you got brought out of the world system, you got brought into a rich family. That's a message for another time, okay? But I'll just tell you, your father, your spiritual father is wealthy. Amen. We were all born into wealth in the kingdom. Amen. And there was not one feeble person among them. Read that again out loud with me. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Yeah. Listen, it's so powerful. 3 million plus people. I like what someone pointed out. You know, Cecil B. DeMille depicted it as the Israelis came out of Egypt. He only missed it on one point. The old people are being carried out on stretchers. And that's not true, because the next day as they woke up, all of a sudden they had strength in their legs they never had in years. In years of being under a cruel Egyptian bondage, all of a sudden they had muscles that had atrophied or been damaged through the whipping of the Egyptian taskmaster. All of a sudden they were strengthened and able to march out in their own strength, praise the Lord, because they are on a long journey. It took them a lot longer than they expected. I mean, 40 years, that's a long journey. So Hebrews 8:6 tells us this. Look up on the screen. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of what? A better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Listen, our new covenant is better than the old. Under the old covenant, overnight, 3 million people had instant health quickened into their body by eating what? The roasted lamb. The roasted lamb. Well, under the new covenant, we have an equivalent. What is that ceremony called? It's no longer called Passover for us. It's called communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table. All of those phrases mean the same. And the breaking of bread. If you read in the book of Acts where they broke bread from house to house, it's describing them taking communion with one another. So turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to read about... Now, this is an amazing chapter because you have to understand, Paul, who is writing 1 Corinthians, never met Jesus, right? Jesus died and rose from the dead, and Paul was still a Jewish zealot, you know, ready to send Christians to prison. Paul became a Christian long after Jesus rose from the dead, so he never met Jesus. He got what we're about to read in these verses. He got it by divine revelation. Jesus revealed this to him later after he became a Christian. Look at verse 17 in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read it in the King James. Verses 17 through 34. Let's look at it together. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. So he's correcting the church there. He's not happy with them. That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. That's a problem. We don't want to ever have church and people walk away worse than they came. But for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies or divisions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. I don't fully understand that verse except to mean that in the long run, there will be people that will be proven to their heart is true, more true than others in an average church, right? And that's just a matter of, we all have free will. We open the doors, we say, come to church. Anybody can come in these doors, but not everybody who comes in here is following Jesus fully. Right? And that's what Paul's saying there in that verse. But look at verse 20. When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In the modern version, it says, it's not the Lord's Supper you're eating. What? Look at why he says this. For in verse 21, he says, for in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise you the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So people were actually coming to church. They were gathering together in houses, and some were coming and they were eating all the food up. Some were getting drunk before the party started. And Paul says here, you're abusing one another. You're not looking out for each other, right? He says, that's not the Lord's Supper you're eating. Let's look down at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We're gonna bring out some truth on that verse right in just a little bit. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're also going to talk about that verse in a bit. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. By the way, that sleep there is not people falling asleep in church. It means people dying prematurely, okay? But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, verse 32, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry or wait for each other, you know, give each other a break. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. All right? So let's go back. We're just going to, you know, there's a lot to be taught from that chapter. I love the part where he says, I received from the Lord. Again, there's that description of Jesus gave Paul this divine revelation long after Jesus had risen from the dead. That's where Paul saw this vision of the Last Supper. He saw all this going on, but he wasn't there, was he? All right, now let's look at verse 24 and verse 25. Twice in two verses, he says this phrase, do this in remembrance of me. Say remembrance. 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 So when we take the Lord's Supper, it's about remembrance. In the Jewish mind, there was a unique aspect about this, and that is that when the Jews, because so much of their history was so, you know, they understood that their history was divine. It was divine from the get-go. An older couple that were well beyond years having a child, you know, Isaac to begin with, was divine. It was impossible. So the very birth of their nation was a miracle from the get-go. So everything along their way, every aspect of their nation's history was divine. And so history was real important to these people. How many of you loved history in school? Not me. But these people, there's what's called the oral tradition. You know, the Jews, even things that probably aren't written in our Bible, they would pass down from generation to generation orally through storytelling. Why? Because their whole history was precious. Well, Paul says here, Jesus said, when you take the Lord's Supper, do it in remembrance of me. In the Jewish mind, what that meant was to reenact the story. So when they talk about Jesus, you know, taking the bread and passing the cup. In Paul's mind, in the Jewish mind, they would say they're visualizing being there at the Lord's Supper. So every time they took the Lord's Supper, they would visualize it. And when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he's saying, "See me being slain, being whipped afresh." So, you know, John, for example, in Revelation 5:6, John the Revelator said, "I saw standing in the throne a lamb as if he had been slain." So John saw Jesus as a lamb who had just been freshly slain. Okay, that's that idea of remembrance or reenactment. Are you with me? So Paul says here, listen, when you take the Lord's Supper, you need to view Jesus afresh. Reenact it. Reenact Jesus being whipped for you. Reenact Jesus shedding his blood for your sins every time you receive it. Amen? It's a fresh revelation. It's a view anew, and it's a view for you. I like things that rhyme. So you view it anew every time you take the Lord's Supper, and you view it for you, right? You apply it to yourself. So wherever you're at today, whatever's going on in your body, whatever condition you might be fighting or challenged with, you when you take the bread, you eat the bread seeing Jesus be whipped for you today, right now, and for that condition that's presently in your body. After all, you know, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, they had what was called the bread of his presence. God is present. He's with you right now. When you take the Lord's Supper, you take it knowing God's here with you right now. And he's aware of your situation. He is aware what you're fighting in your body, any sickness or disease that you're challenged with. And his presence is with you now to bring healing now. Amen? He's a present God, ever-present help. Amen? Another aspect I want to point out to you is in verse 29. Verse 29, where he says this, "He that eats and drinks unworthily," say unworthily, not unworthy people. Paul's not talking about unworthy people. We're all unworthy to receive the Lord's Supper. Amen? There's not one worthy human on earth to receive the Lord's Supper in themselves. But he's saying in an unworthy manner, right? "He that eateth or drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh," what? "Damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, I want to bring out that last phrase, "not discerning the Lord's body." There's two aspects of that phrase that I want to point out to you, okay? And just part of my teaching today. Number one is, of course, in the context, what Paul's saying is, if you treat each other wrongly, you're not looking at that brother, that sister near you in church and recognizing that they are Jesus's body. That's in the context what he means when he says not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, he's saying if you abuse one another, who are the body of Christ, we are all the body of Christ in here, amen? We all make up Jesus in this room, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you take advantage of your brother or sister in Christ, you're mistreating who? Not that person, Jesus. And in doing so, you are, when you partake of the Lord's Supper with that kind of attitude, that kind of sin going on in your life, you are drinking and eating damnation to yourself. That's what he means when he says not discerning the Lord's body. Does that make sense? That's in context what Paul's referring to. You say, well, that's awful serious. Uh-huh. It matters how you treat the body of Christ. I'll say it again. It matters how you treat the body of Christ. You know, preachers will say this, don't touch God's anointed. And that's true. You should really be careful what you do or say or do towards preachers because they are called of God for what they're doing. But you should also treat each other the same respectful way. Amen? Do not abuse one another in the body of Christ. And Paul says, when you do that and then you partake of the Lord's Supper, there's problems. There's problems. And what are the problems? Look at it again in verse 30. Folks, this is the Bible. I'm not making this up. Okay? This is God's authority. So what I'm telling you today, what I'm teaching you today is what he said about the matter, not my opinion. Verse 30, "For this cause many are" what? "Weak." Many are what? "Sickly." And many what? "Sleep in church." No, many die prematurely. That's what Paul said. When you abuse the body of Christ, you'll be weak, you'll be sickly, you'll die prematurely. That's pretty serious. But look in verse 32. When we are judged, or in other words, if we let God correct us, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. God doesn't want those things for you and I. Amen? If we just correct ourselves, we won't be judged in sickness, weakness, and premature death. Any amens in the house today? All right, okay. Just checking. Love and forgiveness is huge. It's a big part of your health. It's a big part of your health physically. Amen? It's as important as vitamins and exercise and good sleep. Love and forgiveness. I heard a quote years ago, Malcolm Smith, who's been a guest here in our house before. Malcolm knew a doctor in New York years ago, and this doctor friend of his told him, he said, Malcolm, over 60% of the people in this hospital that I'm working at, if they would just forgive someone close to their life, within a couple days, if they would forgive them today, within 3 to 4 days, 60% or more of this hospital would be cleared out. That's what he told Malcolm. 60% or more. In other words, many people who are dealing with major issues in their bodies are dealing with what inwardly? Unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, right? Wrong attitude. That's what Paul's talking about here. Many are weak, many are sickly, and many die prematurely. Now, this is not a message of condemnation if you're feeling sick in here today or you're feeling weak in here today. Let the Lord correct you, okay? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is what the Word says. And so Paul says here, in order to avoid this, we must what? Properly discern the Lord's body. We must properly recognize this man sitting next to me, this woman sitting on this side of me in church is not just people, it's Jesus. It's Christ's body. And how I treat these people matters. My attitude toward them matters. That's what Paul's saying. Now, the second interpretation of this verse, discerning the Lord's body, that's the in context interpretation. Do you understand what I mean by in context? That's what Paul's saying to these people. You're doing this wrong, correct it or else. But another aspect of this idea of discerning the Lord's body is this, giving full value to the benefits that come from the Lord's body, making full use of these benefits that he purchased through his suffering. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 53:4, he said, surely, say surely. I love that he said surely, not because my name's Shirley, but because surely means without a doubt. Be certain of this. Don't waver on this point for a minute, but surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. Did he not? Yes, he did. Surely. And Peter, the apostle, the great apostle who walked on water, echoed the same words of Isaiah when he said, and by his stripes ye were healed. Amen. So that's another way that we properly discern the Lord's body. As we look at what happened to Jesus in his suffering, we act like a Jewish mind in that we reenact it today in our remembrance. We don't just remember it kind of sentimentally. Oh, wasn't Jesus great? He suffered for me. No, we see Jesus being whipped right now for my present condition in my body, whatever it is that's ailing me. And we reenact that freshly, and we properly discern the value that comes to us through his suffering. That's also discerning the Lord's body. Does that make sense? Discerning the Lord's body means what? Number one, treating the body of Christ right. Number two, getting the full benefits from Christ's suffering when he suffered in his body. Are you with me? Okay. All right. Let me point out something to you about the Old Testament lamb that suffered. You know, there were many animals that were sacrificed as a symbol of Jesus to come, right? Lambs, goats, bulls, they were sacrificed continually throughout the Old Testament sacrifice system. One interesting note about the lambs that were sacrificed is that the priest would cut a certain artery in the lamb's neck, so they almost died instantly. There was very little pain, suffering. Well, ask the lamb, but I'm just saying. It was done in a very humane way, right? However, Jesus, when he came, before he died, he was battered, he was beaten, thorns were put on his brow, they beat that thorny crown onto his scalp. Must have been very painful. You know, your skin around your scalp is very sensitive, very tender. He was beaten miserably. He was whipped probably to the point that there wasn't any skin left on his back. The Bible says in Psalm 22, I can count all my bones. His back was plowed open. This lamb suffered greatly before he was put to death at the cross. And properly discerning the Lord's body is seeing that and separating it out from forgiveness of sins and putting the value of that to your physical healing. Your physical healing. That's why he suffered that much before he was put to death, for our healing. Now, folks, I just got to tell you, some of you in here, I can feel it. Some of you have wrestled with sickness for a while in your body, and you say, well, how come I'm not healed yet? Listen, there is an enemy that will fight this truth with doubt and unbelief, tooth and nail, because he knows if you get a hold of it and I get a hold of it, it'll be just like Isaiah 55:1. We'll have wine and milk to drink freely without having to spend our money on that which does not satisfy. Amen? Ever been to the doctor and the doctor can't fix you? And you just did what? You just spent a whole bunch of money. But if you'll get this truth, if you'll properly discern the Lord's body as you take communion, every time you take communion and you remember it as if it were happening right now, Jesus is being whipped right now for this ailment in my body and I receive healing through his stripes and through his beatings, you will be healed. And the devil knows it. And he will fight it. He'll fight it through unbelief and doubt in your mind. I'm telling you, saints, this is what we're up against. We're battling his doubt, his lies. But Jesus came and paid the price for our healing. We even use the word scourge. You know, scourge means to whip, right? And when people talk about medical conditions, for example, if they were talking historically, say, about the Black Plague that happened, you know, hundreds of years ago, or about the Spanish flu that happened about 100 years ago. My great-grandfather died of the Spanish flu. And so they'll use this phrase, the scourge of the Black Plague, the scourge of the Spanish flu. In other words, saying it was like society was whipped by this pandemic, right? We could, you know, aptly refer to COVID as the scourge of COVID that hit us in 2020. It was a scourge of an experience as a society. Amen? And Jesus appropriately received in his body what? Our scourging. Why? For our diseases. And you have to see it as for your disease, personally. Just like you took Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to take him as your personal healer. So verse 27, when he says that word unworthily, he that receives this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that idea of unworthily means as much how we treat other people as much as how we benefit ourselves from Jesus' sufferings. Are you with me? I want those two truths to stick with you today. Number one, treat people right who are in the body of Christ. Number two, draw the benefits, the full benefits that Jesus provided for you through his bodily suffering. Praise the Lord. So the question comes, are you properly discerning the Lord's body? Well, once a month we take communion here at church. First Sunday of the month. That's next Sunday. I'm teaching on it today, so we're going to take it today. We get a double dose this month. How about that? It's the holidays. All of us could use a double dose during the holidays. A lot of sicknesses go around at the holidays. Not in my house, but they go around. So it's a good idea to take a double dose. But the question comes, are you properly discerning the Lord's body, and are you partaking of the Lord's body? You know, I'll say this about partaking of communion. We do it here once a month. You ought to be doing it once a week at least at home. Some of you once a day. Some of you with every meal each day. You know, you can buy these cups. It's like $50 a box or whatever we pay. I don't know. Whatever it is on Amazon. You get 100, 200 little cup things. You can do it with chips and orange juice if you don't have grape juice around the house. I mean, it's the faith. It's not the elements. Are you with me? But listen, you can partake of the Lord's Supper as often as you like. You don't have to come to church to do it. And Paul says here, you must properly discern the Lord's body. Well, the other question, the second question for modern Christians is, are you partaking of it? I know you do it once a month here. I'm sure you're properly discerning it here when we receive it once a month here in church. But how often are you doing it on your own? You don't have to answer that out loud. Just you say, well, Pastor, you know, how can eating something as simple as eating of the Lord's Supper have an effect on sickness in my body? Well, the curse of sickness entered the world through what? Two people in a garden disobeying God's command, and eating. It's very significant when you eat in faith. Amen? Amen? You know, you say, well, it's just a little crumb. I mean, how can a little crumb of bread do anything for me physically? I mean, I'm fighting this and this and this. The doctors have said there's no hope for that. And my grandpa had this, so it's just going to be in my genes. I'm telling you, a crumb of bread can work miracles. God has always worked foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. He's used foolish things. He took a shepherd boy and saved an entire nation in battle, going up against what would be the equivalent in our day of an experienced Navy SEAL on steroids. Here's this teenage boy, whips him with a rock. God chooses foolish things. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we won't take time to turn there, but you can just note the reference. 1 Samuel 7, the prophet Samuel is bringing the nation back to God. And he tells them, he says, get rid of your idols. Serve the Lord faithfully. Get rid of the idols that are among you and come back to the Lord. And he's bringing the people, and they're basically having church out there in the open country. And while they're in the midst of having a great church service, Rose, the enemy comes up over the hill. Here come the Philistines. Yeah, it's just like the devil to attack you when you got your back turned, right? And the people cry out to Samuel, do something for us. And what does he do? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 7, 9 and 10, you can read it later. He takes a suckling lamb. A little baby lamb. What power can there be in some little baby lamb who's just young, hasn't hardly learned to walk? But Samuel takes that lamb and sacrifices it. And the Bible says that the Lord himself routed the enemy on their behalf. Just from a little suckling lamb. Folks, there's power in the lamb. There's power when you take it by faith. You say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to take the bread, I'm going to take the cup, and I'm going to do it often. Until I see the breakthrough. Until I see you rout my enemies. Amen. Jesus went to a town way on the north side of Israel. It would be the equivalent of Lebanon in today's geography. And the Bible says he was in a house there. And I think he planted himself intentionally in there and didn't tell the crowds. You know, the Bible didn't say that. I don't think the people in the town really realized who was in their town. But a woman came to him. The Bible says a Syrophoenician woman came to him. And she said, Lord, Son of David. You know, she's using all these Jewish terms as if she was in the family. And she's not. She's outside the Jewish nation. But she's talking real religious. And Jesus cuts her to the quick and he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs or the puppies on the floor. And she says, yes, Lord, but the puppies partake of the crumbs that fall off the table. And a little crumb of bread taken by faith by that woman delivered her daughter of demons. Symbolism is beautiful in the Bible, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So what is the Holy Spirit saying? Your healing, the renewal of your physical life is found in the partaking of the Lord's table often. Now, don't just start a ritual and do it, you know, on a continual basis and you lose the faith. Keep the faith in the mix.
Yes.
If you're going to take it every day by faith.
That's right.
If you find yourself getting kind of stale in your faith, take a break and get your heart right and then come back to it and say, I'm doing this by faith. But as you do, there's power in partaking of the Lamb through the Lord's Supper. I've got a quick video testimony I want to have Alan play at this time. It's going to bless you. David, if you can get the lights for us. And just turn your eyes to the video screen for a few moments and let this bless you.
When we first heard the news, we were in shock. My husband has always been someone who loves life, who likes being active, who enjoys his work. And now he's being told to get his affairs in order. The doctor told us that Marcus had Alzheimer's disease. She told us that it had progressed a lot further than she expected. She told him to get ready, to leave his job, and retire permanently. We weren't ready to hear that, and we decided, no, we weren't going to accept that either. So we gave the situation to God. what really helped was listening to Pastor Prince's sermons, and especially the ones about the Holy Communion. So we began to take the communion together at home, and we took it often. It didn't happen immediately, but we really believe that that was the turning point. 4.5 years later, my husband went for another MRI, and that's when we saw our miracle. Till today, I remember the look on the doctor's face. She was so confused. She stared at the scan, and then she stared at us, and finally she said, "I'm looking at a healthy brain. There's no sign of Alzheimer's disease here." So there was nothing left for her to do but to remove the diagnosis. I am so grateful to the Lord for his healing. And I am so happy to have my husband back. We believe that there are many, many more good years ahead for us.
Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Took 4.5 years, but praise God, they got it. I want to say this about healing. Healing is progressive. It's incremental. And that differentiates healing from a miracle. A miracle is what? Instantaneous. It overcomes the law of physics in terms of time, right? When you have something happen instantly that should have happened, you know, for example, when Jesus turned the water into wine, wine takes what? It takes aging. They take grape juice and it takes time, right, to create wine from grape juice. Jesus sped that up when he stuck his hand in the vessel, right? Season 1, episode about 5 or 6. He instantly turned the water into wine. He overcame the physical limitation of time. Well, that's a miracle. But healing happens over time. And so often we get discouraged. Why? Because time has been ticking on. And you got to realize God's not limited by time like we are. And Jesus used a parable. He said, when the word of God is planted in someone's life, it bears fruit. And here's how it bears. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, what does 30-fold mean? 30-fold means you got 70% still bad in your situation. And that's where often we quit. Right? We see a little bit of improvement. You know, maybe you've been prayed for at church and you say, well, you know, my knee doesn't hurt as bad as it was, but it's still hurting. Well, maybe you got the 30%. Don't quit. But what happens next? When you move from 30% to 60%, see, the Holy Ghost doesn't make any mistakes in how he describes things. Amen. What's the difference between a 30% and 60%? Now you're more well than you are sick. Hallelujah. When you're 60% well, you're only 40% still ailing. Amen? Stick with it. Don't quit. What comes next? The 100-fold harvest. Amen? And it comes to those who believe. So just receive and keep on receiving. That's the point of the matter. Well, I hope you'll remember those points from 1 Corinthians 11. To discern the Lord's body means to remember what Jesus did and how it benefits you in your situation. Amen? He can bring healing to your body through the Holy Communion. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper at this time. Ushers, if you'll please pass those out real quickly. Because here's the reality. Jesus is more than willing to heal you. Jesus is eager to heal you. Jesus desires to heal you, really. I mean, he is willing, but willing, that word sometimes feels limiting. He is thrilled to heal you. Amen? And so as you receive the Lord's Supper and receive it and receive it and receive it again and again and again, what you're doing is you're saying, I don't care what my body's screaming at my brain, I believe Jesus wants to heal me. Every time you take it, that's what you're saying inwardly. You're saying, I believe Jesus wants to heal me. I believe I'm healed by his stripes. I receive. I appropriate. That's what that long Christian word appropriate means. It means to give value to. It means if Jesus put the money in the bank, then you take the time to drive up to the bank, put in the deposit slip and says, I want to withdraw. That's what appropriating means. Amen. And so we appropriate by faith, by taking the Lord's Supper. We appropriate. We withdraw from that which Jesus put in our account. Amen? So let's take the bread out at this time. Take it in your hand. And as the Jewish mindset does, as you close your eyes just in these moments, Let's reenact what this bread represents. It represents Jesus's body, which was beaten, abused cruelly, and whipped so that the scourge of disease would be removed from our life forever. Listen, may it be said of us as a church and you as an individual that we will, our health will outlive our calling. That's my prayer for you. Your health will outlive your calling. Amen. It's better for your health to outrun your calling than your calling. You be up in your 80s or 90s and all of a sudden you realize, I haven't finished my race, but my health is failing. No, no, no. May your health outrun your calling in Jesus. May you finish your race and say, I still got health left over in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together by faith. You don't have to understand it, saints. You just have to believe it. And so we take it by faith. We thank you, Lord, for healing in our bodies today, for miracles happening in our flesh even now, because by your stripes that we see before us in this moment, we receive healing in our bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we take the cup, which represents his blood, forgiveness of sins. It all starts with forgiveness of sins. Because your sins are forgiven, every blessing of God can come your way. Businessmen, I want to encourage you to take communion at your workplace. Why? Because Jesus sweat great drops of blood in that garden. He suffered the anguish of sweat mingled with blood. He was under so much pressure. The Bible says that it was a medical condition. It's a long name. I don't have the name memorized. But his capillaries burst and his sweat was mingled with blood. As he sweat onto the ground, it was mixed with blood to show that Jesus came to redeem us from the sweat, the toil of fruitless labor. You take the Lord's Supper, take it to your workplace and say, Lord, I don't want to just spin my wheels and not be fruitful here in the workplace. No, you redeem me. Your blood redeemed me from the curse of fruitless toil. That's what the cup represents. It's the cup of blessing. Say blessing.
Blessing.
Hallelujah. Lord, we receive the cup and we thank you for forgiveness of sins and blessing in our life today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand together with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has given us weapons. Paul said, the weapons of God are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. A little suckling lamb sacrificed on a hillside by a prophet while the armies of the enemy were marching up to devour the people of God. The foolish thing confounding the wise. Yes. Praise the Lord. Listen, take this tool home and apply it in your private life. Apply it in your everyday life, in your family, in yourself, individually, with your own faith. Take the Lord's Supper as never before. Take it by faith and receive healing and the power of God in your situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you today for your presence here, your power present to heal us, to restore us to life. Thank you, Jesus. Could you just tell him thank you for a moment? The Lord wants to bring good things into your life. And I'm telling you, as you receive communion, many things are being put right into your heart. Sometimes it's a matter of the heart. Jesus, we learned from Scripture, he said, if they would hear, if they would see with their eyes, and their heart would turn, I would heal them. So use communion. You say, Lord, I don't know what, I can't figure out what all's wrong in my life. But I believe as I take this Holy Communion by faith, you're setting my life in order. You're turning me in the right way. Amen. The Bible said John the Baptist prophesied of Jesus, he would make crooked paths straight. So let the Lord make your life straight as you receive his supper often. As often as you do this, Jesus said, as often as you do this. He's expecting us to do it often. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. Let the Thanksgiving continue toward the Lord, and we'll see you soon.